The Fan on Demand.
Here we are back at it, another edition of Hockey Central. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard. Of course, he's at the MasterCard Memorial Cup. All that action on Sportsnet and Sportsnet, the Fan 590. Scott Morrison, Doug McLean.
Banking days.
Well, I was going to say, you're always, are you, like you and McCowan are always looking at your contracts, right?
Yes.
Because last week you had the extra hour for locker cleanout day, which you claim isn't in your deal.
Mm-hmm.
You claim the score hits aren't in your deal.
Totally. So I've banked about 2 months off so far.
Leafs Nation postgame you never showed up on because not in your deal.
Yeah.
But, and Victoria Day Monday, you're okay today or what's the skinny?
No, I'm fine. I had a great relaxing weekend and it was a beautiful weekend in Toronto. So it was great.
And how about last night too, Scott? We get some compelling series. I mean, you talk about Leafs and Bruins. Who would have thought a shorthanded goal last night when it looked like the Pittsburgh Penguins were home and cooled out?
Yeah, just a crazy finish. Alfredson scoring the shorthanded goal sends it to overtime and then the resilient Senators find a way to get it done again.
So just a minute. Mm-hmm. Ottawa's or Pittsburgh's on the power play?
I wanted to hear your point as an NHL, former NHL head coach about what, I mean, there's some things we can see, but what specifically happened there?
Well, it was just a team that's too cocky. You know, a team that's with a 1-0 lead and you get a power play instead of just killing the clock. And being smart. Yeah, I understand. If you get a chance, you try to score to go up.
Right.
You try to score.
Within
reason. But, you know, you've got Malkin on the point. And you've got Letang and Kunitz asleep on the back check. I mean, did you see that rush? The rush from Alfredson, Mikhaili Gontcher? And a tap-in goal on a power play?
Yeah.
With 23 seconds left in the game, it's unbelievable. I mean, Mario wouldn't have dreamt. Jager wouldn't have dreamt of playing it that loose as they played it. And when you've got Anderson going the way he is, that's dangerous. Vakun was good too, but it's dangerous. But give them credit. I mean, they just... And then they show Paul McLean on the bench and say, oh, okay, I expected it. Like, he didn't even cheer.
Like against Montreal, they were down 2-0 before.
Maybe
the Penguins should have taken a notice and remembered that as well.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, they forced Anderson to be very, very good, and we talked about it on Friday, that going into that game and then, you know, every game that they're going to play against Pittsburgh, that goaltending is going to have to be a headline. It was the wrong headline on Friday, but it was, you know, again, he would bounce back with a great game, and to your point, Vokoun was rock solid for Pittsburgh.
And what about the expert analyst saying go with Leonard?
Who's the expert analyst?
Well, I would just listen to them all weekend.
I thought
weekend.
You are. You're the expert
them,
analyst.
I listened to them on some pregame show saying, well, they should go with Robin Lehner. Are you kidding me? The guy has been the MVP of your team. What coach would consider that? That a guy that's been your MVP in the regular season, MVP in the playoffs, he has a tough break where the best player in the world scores a hat trick, and they're suggesting to go with Robin Lehner? Are they out of their minds?
No, it made no sense.
You may have to go with him if the guy's, but come on, one game where he drops off and you're going to go with your backup? I couldn't believe my ears listening to this.
Reminds me of is what Mike Babcock talked about the other day in the off day where he said, you know, my job is to keep it like this.
Yeah.
But he says, this is what it's like for everybody.
Totally.
But you've got to keep it like this.
Yeah. And he's one of the best at it. And Paul McLean is not far off, and Brian Murray and whoever else is involved there, because I'll tell you what, Anderson's one thing. You get the Spezza storyline where he comes in and wins almost every faceoff in the first period, gives him a little spark. Yeah, he struggles a little bit. You get Carlson that plays 38 minutes, and Alfredson, like, could there be a better story than Alfredson?
Last year, he had that petulant temper tantrum. Remember, that was the memory on the bench about the Ottawa season that fell apart.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it, that they seem to have a bit of an edge this time. For the first time in the playoffs in quite a while, Scott, the Senators that, you know, and Jacques Martin's a guy you work with, Doug, but I used to always say their post-game press conferences, he mirrored the candy-ass type team they had back then in the playoffs.
Well, they'd be all riding their bicycles, and he'd be, you know, very timid about everything.
Yeah.
It was almost like excuses for being here. We hope we're not annoying you by being around. And they played that way a lot of times. But this team seems to be, like, the heck with you. We're going to win.
And what about the guys on the winning goal? Benoit.
Yeah.
Rick Walmsley's son-in-law, who played in Russia in the KHL last year, comes back. He's been a utility guy. He's filled in admirably for them. He gets the puck to the net. Greenings. I mean, think about who scores their winning goal in double overtime. So, you know, it's just a great story that continues to get better. And this, you know, I mean, we've said all along, this Pittsburgh blue line, if they've got to be careful on big mistakes. I know they've been solid in this series. But anyway, as they say, the pesky sends are there.
Well, and you saw Greening's face in the postgame interview. He's cut open on the
little cheek. Bit of fiberglass.
Yeah,
come on.
They had to pick some fiberglass.
What, fiberglass in your face?
Like, what is that all about? How do you get fiberglass in your face?
Broken stick in his face.
Unbelievable.
I sticked and the stick broke.
Unbelievable.
Used to be slivers.
But first of all, how can you have a better day? I show up at Hemingway's.
Mm-hmm. I've been
show
there.
Up at Hemingway's at 6:30. Hemingway's a local Yorkville establishment, and you've got the clam chowder first. You've got the buttered chicken, which apparently it's a specialty there. You've got the Summerside Western Capitals and the Brooks Bandits on one TV, and you've got the Ottawa Senators.
The RBC Cup, what's that like?
The RBC Cup, and then I've got both games going. So I've sent in notes to my son, giving him the score in Chicago because he can't get the junior game. I sent him after 2, it's 2-1, he sends me back a note. I just talked to the assistant coach. They lost 3-1. It was a tape delay game.
Oh,
I was watching. So I'm watching the tape delay.
So you watched the Indy 500 delay too and all that?
No, I didn't watch the Indy 500.
Hey, well, to go back one other.
It was breaking news. I saw Roger Millions on the Indy 500. I thought it was breaking news coming out of Calgary.
I know. He's he's got the gig.
I thought it was going to be an article on the Swiss goalie from Roger Millions.
Their prospect.
He's had such a great world championship.
Now, what about on Saturday? Could that theoretically be the biggest goal in San Jose Sharks history? Logan Couture in overtime. I mean, the Sharks dispense the Vancouver Canucks. They seem to be on a roll. And if you're going to get in, you had to win that one against the Kings
on a 5-on-3.
Whatever.
I mean, seriously, a 5-on-3 goalie interference.
Well, it's the other way. It was the other way on the
seconds.
Kings the night game number
justice.
2.
But
yeah,
you know what's funny? How many times in this show this year did we say when this became Logan Couture's team, the Sharks may be ready to take a step when Marlowe and Thornton become secondary guys? And guess what? They're secondary guys, and they're excelling at it. The pressure seems to have moved to Couture. He seems to be a kid that relishes it, handles it. All of a sudden, Thornton and Marlowe are making big plays on every goal.
Are they secondary guys or just more guys that are complimenting?
No, they're first guys that are sort of had a little pressure taken off them.
Mm-hmm. They got help.
I think they've got help, and it's no different than Yzerman. Yzerman in Detroit, when Yzerman got help, he became the best leader in the history of the game. It's no different.
Well, Mario Lemieux's Penguins didn't make the playoffs 5 of his first 6 years.
Right. You need help. And, you know, it's so.
And they almost lost Couture earlier in that game, too. He had that nasty little fall.
I thought he was done. When you saw that looking injury, you thought, well, that's either an ankle, a knee. It didn't look good. But he's a tough, hard-nosed leader, this kid, boy. Big time. And talk about. Well, anyway, you're the host. Go ahead.
What do you think of fine?
It's the first time you've ever said that.
I thought it was great. I mean,
who pays it?
Oh, he has to pay it.
Really?
Does he
pay it and get reimbursed?
No. They get caught reimbursing him?
No, but you reimburse it for something else. You know the way it's done, right?
If they ever get a whiff that he was reimbursed.
But it happens all the time.
It doesn't.
Yes.
No,
you reimburse the guy
separately.
No,
it doesn't. Well, I never got
something
else.
Fine, I'll tell you one guy. One was the automatic one, and then one was a discretionary.
Yeah, 25, right? 25, and they added 75 on.
I'll tell you one guy that never had his reimbursed.
You.
That was me.
How much was it?
$10,000.
You short today?
And it wasn't reimbursed.
Really?
No.
You dropped that much at Hemingway's on the weekends.
Anyways, speaking of Taves,
what's going on?
Well, look, I said it. If you were going to start a franchise in the NHL and you take Crosby out of the mix, would he not be the next guy?
Yeah,
you would
he'd be
take?
There.
Would be. Would it be Tavares? Would it be Taves? I don't know the way Tavares has come on, but Taves to me is he's changed the culture of the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. To watch him in the last game, he is a frustrated kid. Zetterberg went 13 of 18 or 19 shifts head-to-head with him. Zetterberg is dominating him in that game. He dominated him in that game, not the first game. He hasn't scored in the playoffs. He's frustrated beyond belief. I think he responds really well. I think he will respond, but he is one pissed off, frustrated guy right now.
Well, he got banged around as well.
Yeah, and how do the Detroit Red Wings bang around Jonathan Toews? That's like
they were a more physical team overall.
Exactly. And then you look at their back end, which we said all year it's the worst defense in the Central Division. They get 9 points in that game. They were involved in all four goals. Erickson makes that great pass to Franson on the big goal. Smith scores the winner. I mean, Cronville gets it to the net on a tip in. I mean, their defense was unbelievable in that game and defending well. So Babcock gets them from an awful, god-awful game one performance to a real good performance in game two. So I think we've got some great coaching with Babcock, McLean, McClellan. I think there's been some really good coaching in the playoffs, getting teams refocused.
And Toews, the guy, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's won a gold medal. So he's done it. It's not like, say, Joe Thornton trying to win a Stanley Cup. And all those other words you throw in, I almost found him a little suck last game, too. It's like,
who?
Man, Toews. Yeah. Like the Red Wings have him.
Exactly.
You go, if you're on the Red Wing bench, you go, holy, we are so in this guy's head, so in whatever. He's whining to the refs. He's, he's becoming less of a factor as the game goes on.
Totally. And you know what? Hossa's got to pick it up there. Hossa's got to be, when Toews is struggling, Hossa, and he's capable of it, and he typically has, So, and then you get Kane, and their power play is so dynamic with that, Hossa on the point, and then they've got Toews and Sharp and Kane up front. He's eventually going to get it going. So, some really interesting dynamics. And then what about the Tortorella comment on the bench yesterday when what's his name? The runner-up is interviewing him. Did you see that comment by Torts?
I was that
the one where he said was it Hagelin stinks on the power?
Well, he said that one.
But then
I saw him cursing like crazy at the end of the period. About
something, he was
too.
Going nuts after that. But the finalist asked him a question about what he thought of Callahan's goal, Callahan's play, and Callahan, the leader, and was playing his tail.
It was a great goal.
He said it was. He said, "I'll tell you what. I think it was a great GD goal." And just, like, what I'm thinking? Like, do we need this? Like,
what are you trying to prove?
Yeah, like, the guy stinks, and this stinks. Everybody stinks except him.
Mm-hmm.
And his team got their ass handed to them yesterday. And so I've picked the Rangers to win, which I'm an idiot, but I hope they lose.
You're an idiot just because you picked him to win or in the big picture?
I thought the Bruins with their beat-up defense. I thought the Bruins with their beat-up defense would really have their hands full. And all of a sudden, their defense is the star. The Kruk kid was a star. I mean, he makes
goals in his first two games.
Two unbelievable plays. And Bergeron, who all we ever talked about was the Bergeron-Marchand line. They flipped Sagan. They flipped Jagr. All of a sudden, Bergeron now is a star. Amazing.
Well, we're going to chat with Peter Chiarelli, the general manager of the Boston Bruins, when we come back. And then halfway through Chiarelli, we'll be off.
We'll ask him what he thinks of Tortorella's comments.
We'll ask that, but also we are on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. At 12:30, though, we go to the baseball show. Is that right? Okay, so we'll be online. Sportsnet590.ca.
There's a
and
Jays
we're on
game
Sportsnet
today.
One.
Oh, okay.
Baseball Central at 12:30 on TV.
I thought
radio sticks with us.
Yes.
Well, Sportsnet One has us for the full hour on
and
TV.
Also, Peter Chiarelli just moved to 12:40, so forget all that. So I was going to say, get our good questions in early, but we'll get a full segment. We're going to come back. We'll chat about that. We'll also talk about the preview of tonight's game we touched on a little bit. This is Hockey Central on the Fan Radio Network and watching on Sportsnet One. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean.
Featherlite is the number one ladder used by the pros, and here's why. Featherlite knows that you depend on your ladder to be safe and to perform properly, whether on the job or at home. So they constantly strive to improve the utility and safety of their ladders, not only to meet but exceed industry standards. Featherlite has been building trust into every ladder it makes for over 60 years. No wonder the pros recommend them. The pros know, and Canadian pros pick Featherlite ladders. Safer, tougher, Canadian since 1949.
Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back. Second period. Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard. Of course, he's part of the MasterCard Memorial Cup team here on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590, the fan as well. Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, Peter Chiarelli, general manager of the Boston Bruins, will join us 1240. Just a reminder, programming note out there. We have a Toronto Blue Jay game this afternoon, so Sportsnet 590, the fan. We'll go to that at 1230. We will continue on sportsnet590.ca, and of course, you can watch us on Sportsnet 1. Did I get that correct?
Well, the TV, I think, goes to Blue Jay Central at 1230 as well.
Do we? Who are we talking
to? Full hour on Sportsnet 1 on TV.
Sportsnet 1. There we go. Yes. So we're good on Sportsnet 1. So if he loses, you can find us, right? Figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that good with you, Doug?
Yep.
Okay. You excited?
Sportsnet 1's the place to be. And
it will be in 8 minutes.
And the web.
So we'll be at 8 minutes.
Find the web. Taking the nation by storm.
That's it. We'll be we're used to that. Taking the nation by storm. Well, I still, you know, it's funny. And one thing I will ask Peter.
Are you coast to coast, your show, or just in Ontario?
Around the world. No, it's around the world.
Okay.
It's taking the world by storm, actually. But what would you call the term now? Will you? I use the term, the Leafs weren't the only ones, but when you're an underdog, you're in the playoffs and you're playing with house money. That term. So with the Leafs, it didn't, in the third period, probably a different spin on it, but how do the Bruins feel now? I mean, you know, what are you playing with now if you're the Boston Bruins? You've dodged that bullet. I mean, different expectations than the Leafs. Is it house money or what is it exactly? A second lease on life? Because they can go from that almost, you know, fans leaving in the third period. And I think they're as good a team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup as anybody else.
I think that the Bruins, it's a tough series when you play the Leafs because obviously we don't know what it's like for 9 years, but there's so much hoopla around the series. There's so much media coverage. There's so many distractions. There's so many Ontario kids on both teams and, you know, Canadian kids. And it's just a different buzz, I think. And I think it may have caught up to the Bruins a little bit, all the buzz and the talk. But and the Bruins simply couldn't get their second line going in that series. And now their first line going, the Bergeron line, which was their first line for a lot of the year. Although, how do you tell the difference between Bergeron between those two? They're both unbelievable lines. So now they got it going, and pretty amazing, the identical goals in back-to-back games by Marchand from Bergeron. So, they come close, but I think they're breathing a sigh of relief. I thought they'd struggle a little bit with their blue line, but Chera just finds a way. McQuaid is a durable guy. The kids have come in. Boychuk, I mean, what can you say about Boychuk? What's he got? 3 goals in the playoffs, and he's just a tough as nails. Think about a prototypical defenseman that's tough as nails is Boychuk, the way he's performed for the Bruins. And face first into the boards, I mean, hit just a...
The goalie's been pretty good, too.
Yeah, and Tuukka Rask has been real good. So, and the Rangers are... I don't know. I mean, their coach talks way too much for me. Mm-hmm. Talks way too much. And, you know, I know they were lucky to come back. I thought they were lucky to come back and beat the Caps, but, you know, they deserved it. They deserved it. Lundqvist deserved it. But I don't like the act that this guy insulting NBC and all the hockey people, I mean, all across NBC and TSN watching that and him with that comment on the air yesterday, I don't mind. I mean, I can swear as much as the next guy, but there's a time and place. And on national TV in North America is not the place. And if I was a league, I would come down hard on him. I thought it was an insult.
Well, are they going to? I mean, Doug Wilson gets fined $100,000 because you're talking about the sanctity of the game.
If there's nothing in there to fine him, I would certainly hope that Gary Bettman has a conversation with him because it was sickening to listen to, in my opinion. And I'm not the do-gooder, but I didn't like it.
This is Zach Warnthin. With the players?
That's a great question. I mean,
that's what really matters, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter what we think.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
What we don't want to hear or want to hear, but it's whether or not the players are still listening and still responding. And they had a, you know, inconsistent short season, managed to bounce back from a deficit to win in the opening round, but, you know, they got a big hole again. And that's, nobody's come back from 0-2 twice in a playoff.
Have you ever seen a professional coach go up to a mic and say what he said about the kid on the power play? He stinks. He just stinks. He stinks.
Mm-hmm. On the power play.
Then he says, I don't mean anything. I love the kid, but he's just no good on the power play.
So who's that for?
Well, he got a broadcasting job when he was out of work. He'll probably get a broadcasting job. I mean, I see
funny. Who's it for? Have you ever seen it done? I mean, look, I understand. Hey, what about, well, you know what? He's not getting it done for us on the power play. He's struggling on the power. He stinks. And then it becomes, everybody thinks it's funny. I didn't think it was funny, but anyway.
Well, there's the reaction. Every action has a reaction, and then the reaction becomes, you know, the 100 reporters who are sitting in that room and hear the word stinks immediately go running down the hallway, and now they're in his face saying, well, the coach just said you stink.
And their power...
I don't know what that's hoping to achieve.
And the power play is what? What is it, 2 for 30-something?
And it's all because one guy stinks?
Yesterday, did they get a scoring chance on the power play? I mean, it was a joke, their power play yesterday. So anyway.
I mean, this is a guy who's won a Stanley Cup, so he clearly knows how to coach. But I'm just a little bit baffled by some of his motivational tactics.
But Doug, you know what?
Two for 36 in the power play.
Okay, he causes a distraction, which is healthy for the team. And I always wonder what's going on in there.
Maybe he does. And if that's the case, that's great. I just don't like it.
But I don't see that one as being a distraction. Like, that one now becomes a player distraction. Like, if he wants to sit there and fight Larry Brooks or second-guess questions or do whatever, then that's fine. He is being a distraction. But once you bring a player into it and say, player A stinks, now that's not a distraction. He's involved in that story.
Is he trying to motivate the player?
Maybe.
Last year, the team turned around because Joe Thornton called them, was misquoted, right? Calling them the softest team they played. And Tortorella went to town on that and helped turn it around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tough act to play. But Boston Bruins.
Yeah. If it works, that's why he does it. He won't come on this show because he doesn't, they don't like what we say about them. So that's fine.
What shows does he go on?
I don't know.
Well,
sure, he goes on
a New York talk show the other day because there was clips of it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So he's doing the locals. The local circuit.
Now, Boston Bruins, the point I'm saying of the Bruins now is on the Western side, I can see all four teams advancing. On the East, I really have the Bruins as the marquee team, maybe the Penguins after that, but then Ottawa, New York Rangers, with all due respect, not in the same league so far. I mean, that's where I just think Boston's all of a sudden become a juggernaut from the Leaf experience. You see it the same way?
Well, I think if they continue to improve their play the way they have, and they're getting better as the playoffs go on, it's hard to believe, but they might be getting a little rested after just a grueling finish to the season, and all of a sudden they get healthy, and Julian's going to have some tough decisions to make on the back end, although he'll go back with his veteran core group. There's no doubt about that. They've got four lines. We talked about it here on the show on Friday. I mean, Gregory Campbell's line, we said it here Friday. How important is that line to this hockey team? How important does Gregory Campbell, Thornton, and Paillet go out on the ice?
Just got to say quick, we are, just so you know, we're going over to baseball on the fan, so sportsnet590.ca. If you want to carry on, we're going to carry on. Of course, Sportsnet 1 on the TV side.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, how important are those lines? The depth up front and then, the big man on the blue line. Like, seriously, when you think about the Norris Trophy candidates, And they're all worthy candidates, and they're great young defensemen, but come on.
Why did he get overlooked this year?
Who was the best defenseman in the NHL by a country mile?
But why did
it's not even close. In a bad season, he's still the best by a country mile.
So was that...
Because he didn't get his points, I don't know.
Well, is it a 48-game season that probably we get a little sweeter on guys, and the 82
maybe.
Games you garner more appreciation for the golden oldies like Zdeno Chara, Scott?
Yeah, could well be the case. But, just about that Boston team is that, Claude Julien has said it, that they've been a Jekyll and Hyde type of team this season. And, I think going into it, a lot of people would have put them up with Pittsburgh as a 1-2, as probably, the top contenders. They had a great run. I think they were 19-4-1 or something at one point, or 7-1. And then they had a bad slide down the stretch where they couldn't score any goals and struggled. And then obviously had some moments against the Leafs where they were tied up and struggled. But, that lease on life, it looks like this is a team where their best players at the right time really overwhelmed Toronto in that third period. And now those best players have had put back-to-back good games against the Rangers as well. So maybe they just got the confidence back and got the good guys going at the right time.
And imagine if Sagan gets going.
Yeah.
I mean, but you see Lucic, the play he makes at the net, he stays in that, taps in, and Horton driving with him there. I mean, they're playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. Like, they've got an amazing north-south game, and then they drive so hard to the net. When they throw pucks to the net, there's a chance it's going in because they've got the big guys driving the net the way the game is supposed to be played, you know, when you're at playoff time. And that's north-south and drive and punish and play. And, yeah, I love the way they're playing right now.
So we'll have Peter Chiarelli on in a few minutes' time. The one game tonight, Chicago-Detroit, I'm wondering if you're the Blackhawks, and we talked about Jonathan Toews earlier, but what else needs to get back on track? Maybe in some ways, Joel Quenneville, I wouldn't say like the result, but he's always felt his team hasn't been playing their best hockey in the playoffs so far. And then you got a Red Wing team that kind of an unusual position being an underdog, and they really showed maybe not so much in game number two. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was an impressive display, as I said, by a blue line that was totally remade. Koliakovo comes in and plays. You know, they're a team that Kenny said when he was on with us halfway through the year, Kenny Holland, that if they got healthy, he was anxious to see the team. He always believed in young Smith, who was bad in game one, rebounded in game two, even had the bad play on the Sharp goal where he picked pocket him at the blue line there. So, you know what? They're right, and Howard was unbelievable in game one. Didn't have to be great in game two. So now it goes back to Detroit. I mean, I still see Chicago winning this series, but they did not play very well the other night. They did not play very well.
They had a good first 10 minutes and then just trailed off. They lost. They didn't have their legs. They weren't skating, and they have to be a skating team. But the other one that struck me, Doug, is that, and they showed it on the game broadcast, Zetterberg and Datsyuk, we've seen the offensive magic, but the first guy's back on back checks too. Yeah, yeah. Just amazing.
You know, it's you look at the Chicago Blackhawks and the third and fourth line bang like crazy. Their first and second line seemed to have gotten off the hook this year. They've been able to play almost a totally skill game and had great success. Their first two lines have got to grind it out a little bit. You know, Toews, even Kane, and I know he's not a big guy, but you got to battle for pucks. And they've seemed to have lost that. I bet you if you talk to Joel, their top six have not battled. They're the glue of the team. They're unbelievably talented. I don't know if there's enough bite in their game right now in that top six group to, you know, they got to change a touch. And they're all capable of it. But they got to change a touch and grind it a little more.
You know, something watching them, like I love watching them in the regular season. It kind of reminded me of the Sedins, not so much this year, but other years when they're on fire and you love watching it. Yeah. So it's almost like you're playing pickup hockey and it's coming so easy. Mm-hmm. And then like life, when you get a little bit of adversity they weren't just getting goals and winning. They were like highlight reel things, which totally don't come that easy.
Totally. And how many highlight goals do you really see in the playoffs? I mean, you see the odd one. Mm-hmm. You see Malkin last night dance around four guys and almost scored. And by the way, Malkin wasn't on the point in that power play. Martin and Letang were on the ice. So I don't know why I said
Malkin. But Malkin missed the check.
He missed the check, but he wasn't playing the point.
Okay.
But anyway, I was trying to think back to who the two defensemen were.
My favorite picture is, getting back to that series, is the Brian Murray ISO cam, watching Brian with the celebrity. Not wanting to let loose, but starting to shake a little.
Because Mario's got his wife there.
Brian's favorite line is, he'd come down, every time we'd lose a game, he'd come down to my office after and say, am I missing something here? Before he would start to tell me what I did wrong. He'd always say, what am I missing here about what you're trying to do on the bench?
they had the Lemieux couple, and then Brian by himself kind of sitting
there.
Well, they keep
Timmy Murray and the scouts, they keep their distance from Brian, and he's jumping and battling. I've never seen him quite this edgy. And I was on the bench with Brian for probably 7 years, and oh, my God, is he into it on the bench? He's so much calmer as a GM. Mm-hmm. You remember when he was a coach? God, it was priceless.
Yeah.
He was so into it. He was the best on the bench. He was an unbelievable line changer, unbelievable line matchup guy, but he was into it.
Of a sharp tongue.
A sharp tongue.
Yeah,
he was good tongue. Then he became fairly calm, and now as he gets into the playoffs, he's a little edgy. You know, that's great to see.
Well, we'll come back, talk about a team that's enjoying things in the playoffs. It would have been edgy for them game 7 against the Leafs.
Pete Chiarelli or George McPhee? Who's the edgier in the box?
Who would you say?
George is a little edgy.
George a little bit edgy. Well, we'll find out Peter, well, how he's feeling. Peter Chiarelli is going to join us next. We'll be back with the third period. You're listening to Hockey Central. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean with you on Sportsnet590.ca and watching on Sportsnet 1.
Featherlite is the number one ladder used by the pros, and here's why. Featherlite knows that you depend on your ladder to be safe and to perform properly whether on the job or at home. So they constantly strive to improve the utility and safety of their ladders, not only to meet but exceed industry standards. Featherlite has been building trust into every ladder it makes for over 60 years. No wonder the pros recommend them. The pros know, and Canadian pros pick Featherlite ladders. Safer, tougher, Canadian since 1949.
Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back. Third period, Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard. Of course, Darren, part of our team covering the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Here on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, a holiday here in Canada. It'll be a holiday next Monday, United States. So never a holiday, though, as far as the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs go for the eight teams that are still participating. A big win yesterday for the Boston Bruins, now up 2-0 in their series against the New York Rangers. Peter Chiarelli, the general manager, joins us. How you doing, Peter?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thanks for joining us. I was trying to carry
when GMs win and they come on with us. They're damn hard to find when they lose.
I'm always there, Doug.
He's through thick and thin. You know what I was wondering. You had a couple of years ago when you were down 2-0 to Montreal. You had to come back, and you know there was a lot of adversity. Winning seventh games, you won the Stanley Cup. So you know what that feeling's like. What's the feeling like when you have a game where game seven against the Leafs, fans have left the building, and then all of a sudden you almost have I guess Jack Edwards, your broadcaster, said he views it kind of like the ball going through Bill Buckner's leg all those years ago. I mean that kind of a play, except working in your favor. What's the mood and ambiance like of the team heading into round two after that experience?
Well, you know, it's been well documented the number of game sevens we've been through. So the guys, you know, for better or for worse, have the experience of playing in game seven. So coming out of that one was, you know, I've never been part of something like that before. And it was certainly, you know, when we scored the second goal, I knew we had some momentum, and you know, there's a bit of a chance. And then, you know, then you could kind of see the tide turning. And Doug, you know, when you're watching a game, you get the momentum going, and sometimes it's hard to stop. So we were building, you know, from there, and we try and build off of experiences like that. And you know, we've been going pretty good in this second round.
It was a funny game because it looked like Toronto were continually getting stronger as the game went on, and then to just see that complete turnaround in the last 10 minutes, but. I'll never forget when you signed Bergeron. And, you know, I remember talking to you about it at the time, and I was wondering why you gave him $5 million. And, you know, it's just amazing.
Legitimate question.
Because
legitimate
you believed that this kid was going to be eventually the glue of this franchise. And how, you know, you have Chera there that you brought in, but how important has Patrice Bergeron been to this franchise, Pete?
Yeah, he's been, like, it's very rare to find a player who is so responsible and wants to defend and wants to be terrific defensively. And I can make those offensive plays that you saw the other night. He's old school, Doug. He never complains. He speaks up when there's a time to speak up and it's needed. He's terrific leadership capabilities and potential still, because he's only getting better in that regard. But you know, he can make high end plays in clutch situations, and you saw that the year we won. And you saw it in Game 7, and you saw it yesterday afternoon.
Would you say Zdeno Chara, Peter, is your MVP at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, the minutes that he plays, especially what has happened to our D with the three guys getting hurt, and he's always been capable of playing a lot of minutes, but now he has to play even more minutes and more meaningful minutes. So, you know, with Z, it's about when he keeps his game simple, I think he's the best defenseman in the league. And right now he's doing that. And then when he keeps his game simple, he also puts up points, which he's doing too, and clutch points. So, yeah, I would say that, yeah, right now. But, you know, like Lucic's been playing terrific too. He's been playing terrific, and Rask has been playing very well.
It's funny, Chera, Nash sort of gets by him there yesterday in a big play by Nash, and, you know, to keep them in the game, and Chera just got better after that. Think, is there any drop-off with this guy? And he just got better after that shift. I mean, you could tell that would tick him off to no end, as much as he'd ever get ticked off. I don't know the guy.
He relishes matching up. Like, when we're playing Washington, in Washington, I mean, you could see when you're away and you got to match up. I mean, one, it's the coach. Code does a real good job of getting him on against the high-end guy, but you can just see he ramps up psychologically for those games because it's about changing on the fly when you're on the road and on matchups. He's unique because I think he likes to defend better than he likes to go on the offensive, and I think that's unique in that game.
Plus, changing on the fly is easy for him because he just, you know, he doesn't even have to jump over the boards. He steps over the boards.
A mild step, yeah.
Just one other thing before I let Gordy jump in here, but tell us about Boychuk. I mean, has this guy become a warrior for this team or what?
He's like, you know, he's a physical player, but he's got one of the top 7 to 10 shots in the league. He plays a physical game. Like, sometimes he gets his wires crossed a little bit, but he'll eat a puck when he has to. A lot of guys won't, and he'll win that battle because he's so strong on the puck defensively. He's a warrior. We remember a couple of years ago when Seidenberg really came into his own along those lines. Johnny's doing that right now.
Well, in keeping with the defense, talk about the three young kids and how well they've played for you.
Yeah, they've Dougie well chronicled Doug Hamilton. He's a 19-year-old kid who's been playing since the beginning of August in that challenge at the Super Series. He's been playing a lot of hockey, so you know his pace fell off a bit towards the end, and we wanted to rest him up, and we had to put him back in, and we wanted to put him back in. I mean, a talent like that. So you've got him, who's a terrific puck mover, and he really likes to have the puck on the other side of the center ice line. And then you got the other two guys, Barkowski, who's really just been taking off also, who takes the ice when it's given to him. He can really skate, transport the puck. And then Krug, who you've seen in, like, very, very smart player. And you've seen a couple of instances where he looks like a 10-year pro with some of the plays he's been making. So those three players now playing have given our defense a different complexion, and it makes us a faster team.
I want to ask you is, well, you've got the last four Stanley Cup champions are still playing. Their coaches are still there. I mean, in Sutter's case, he was only there for half a year last year, but still. And that game 7, with the era of social media, Peter, I got to tell you, here in the doing the Toronto broadcast, we got an email about Leaf playoff tickets are going to be available for the Rangers series. Got that late in the third period. All those other things going on the Toronto side. But also, quickly, Claude Julien, he's been fired like 20 times, according to social media, along the way. One game away, one playoff loss away.
And Pete's been on the line, too.
Has he?
Yeah, well,
okay.
Yeah.
What?
Totally. Both him and me, yeah.
Oh, so you you guys are both going to get fired, I guess. You're 10 minutes away from it. But no, talk about your relationship with the coach, because it's something I know you've always been, I made strong statements about it, but as far as the guy you picked and Claude Julien, your coach through thick and thin.
And he doesn't say his players stink on the power play. I like that.
it's a strong one, a real strong one. You know, when you're in the trenches, you gotta have people that you can trust, and you know, it's a tough town that way, but we take it, like, you know, water off our back, but it's you know, sometimes it can be a little concerning and disturbing, but, you know, like, in this business, it's like you're always, someone's always ready to knock you off, so, but very strong relationship. He's, proof's in the pudding, too. I mean, one of the things that, you know, that I've come out, and, like, since Cole joined our group, he has the second most playoff wins in the league, so next to Babcock. So that's pretty
good,
pretty
company.
Heady stuff. Yeah, it's pretty heady stuff. So part of playing in a major sports town.
Just
at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. Just a special note here. I just got an email this morning from Scott Fitzgerald's wife, who I'm on a list of a group of people.
Yeah,
Scott is
a
scout with the Boston Bruins. 2 months ago, was involved in a horrific car accident with his son, and he's gone through 7 surgeries, and he's been a longtime scout, and just want to wish him all the best and give our best wishes to him and his family. If you're talking to him, Pete, and I know a lot of the staff happen to catch this show because I get corrections quite regularly from some of your staff if I happen to step out of line.
Well,
so we want to wish Scott all the best and his family.
It's you know, you talk about the three young D, Doug. I mean, Wayne Smith and Scott and Fitzy were instrumental in Torrey Krug's in the recruitment. We covered him a lot his last year. We almost drafted him. We interviewed him. We got to know him really well. And then Don Sweeney picked up the slack in recruiting him. So Fitzy always liked Krug, and he's a good man and a good scout.
Yeah. So best wishes to him and his family. He's a terrific guy. He worked with me for a long time, and I think the world of him. Yeah. Anyway, congratulations. It was great to see you relaxed in the press box the last couple of games, and as the series goes on, we'll see you uptight again.
So what was the question? So Doug wanted to know, who's the most uptight, you, Brian Murray, or George McPhee?
Oh, boy, I was watching both those guys over the course of the last couple of weeks. I think I got it.
Well, you better keep it. It's working for you.
All
so,
the best.
It just knocks a couple of years off my life. That's all.
You're looking younger all the time, man.
Yeah, feeling younger.
All the best, bud.
So when you come on this show, you can relax a bit. Thanks very much, Peter.
Good luck, bud.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Peter Chiarelli, general manager of the Boston Bruins. And,
great guy.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that note as well, because it's a very tight hockey community.
Yeah.
And, certainly that puts it all in perspective.
Yeah, it was a head-on collision. Unfortunately, a guy was killed in the car accident, and Scott and his son survived. But, oh, man, has he gone through just just got out of the rehab center the other day and moved into the hospital. So just tough times in the hockey world for good people.
Well, got NHL action tonight, Chicago, Detroit. We'll be back at it tomorrow, of course, here on Hockey Central at noon. And don't forget MasterCard Memorial Cup coverage. We've got London and Portland tonight going on,
yes. So
get that
big
on sports
game for Portland. Wow.
I know. You thought yesterday it was Saskatoon that had to get back, and they did.
Summerside Caps, tough loss to Brooks, but congratulations to Brooks, and Summerside did a great job hosting the RBC Cup
3-1,
in Summerside.
Right?
3-1 final, yeah.
And Doug watched it all.
Yes.
So he thought.
Take
we'll be
delayed.
Back. Hey, enjoy the weather out there. It's a great holiday Monday. We'll be back at it. Enjoy the hockey.